Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Jack Hoffman. For nearly 31 years, Tico's Steakhouse has been a staple for fine dining in Jackson, Mississippi. I would like to invite you to come experience our family tradition of our hospitality, sizzling steaks, and healthy poured beverages.
East County Lime Road in Ridgeland, 601-956-1030.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
It is rare, and I mean really rare, when a road series win in SEC baseball feels like a loss, but that is what just happened for Ole Miss. Game 3 choked away a lead in the bottom of the ninth, and again, even though they won the series, they beat Auburn 2 out of 3. They needed 3, really, for their postseason standing for 1, but for 2, the way they gave that game away is a gut punch to that baseball team and the fans that follow it. We're here to talk about it. My name is Michael Borky. Welcome into Rebel Report Live. I appreciate you being here. Please don't forget, by the way, to subscribe to the channel, like the video. If you're watching after the fact, leave a comment. I would appreciate that as well. I read them. I see them. They help me a ton. So I'm glad you're here. Even if you're not here live, I appreciate you being here. And yeah, leave a comment, subscribe to the channel. Also, if you're listening in podcast form, don't forget to subscribe to that feed too. Search Rebel Report wherever you get your podcasts. If you're listening on the website at supertalk.fm, we're really glad that you're here. But pull out your phone and your favorite podcast app, search Rebel Report. I'm loving the numbers that we're getting right now. I'm very, very pleased and surprised, frankly, because I don't deserve you guys and the growth. But it is happening. And so this time of year, with not good baseball happening, you guys are the best. So thank you for that. The Rebel Report is brought to you by the Gregory Law Firm. We all know that in sports, especially in college sports, injuries like your heart today are unavoidable. They're going to happen over the course of a season, but unless you are a college or professional athlete or a fan of a team, because you guys get hurt too, as evidenced by what happened today, you shouldn't have to worry about getting injured. If you have been personally injured or you have a small business or contract dispute, call attorney DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm located in Saltillo, Mississippi to discuss your legal options. You may not need an attorney right now, but you will need one, or maybe not. I hope you're not. And DJ Gregory hopes that you don't ever need his services. But if that day comes, remember this number, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799 for all of your personal injury, small business, or contract dispute. Obviously, tonight we're talking about the Auburn series and what happened there in Game 3. Obviously, that's the story. That's the conversation. And what makes it so interesting is not the right word, and that's not the word you guys want to hear tonight, because they won a road SEC series. Like, all of these things can be true at once, right? It's my favorite way to frame discussions and talking points. My favorite way is that all these things can be true at once. They hit the ball better this weekend. Some guys in the lineup are like the lineup's coming together a little bit. They're starting to hit the baseball. And you're starting to see some emergence and more consistency at the plate from some of these guys. They had a really good weekend at the plate in their order, top to bottom, I think. They had a really good weekend at the plate. And they won a road series. That is not something, frankly, that I thought they were going to do, despite Auburn being as bad as they are. I think that after what we saw with Alabama, I was expecting that Q word to just come right back up. That's what I was expecting. What was them to give a quitting effort. And you didn't get that this weekend. You had some emotion. They hit the baseball well. They won a couple games. And they jumped off to a really big lead in game three, and Auburn climbed back, but then they get the lead back, and you feel like going into the bottom of the ninth that they were going to make the postseason conversation interesting again. That's what it felt like. I mean, truly, I was expecting to sit here with you guys and talk about how, hey, look, you know, Auburn's the worst team in the SEC, but still, three wins in six games is not like insurmountable. Texas A&M is not playing their best as of late. It's at home. LSU, although maybe getting a little – anyway, that's the conversation that we were going to have is they got three. Auburn stinks, but it doesn't matter. They got a sweep on the road, which is just really, really hard. Really hard to do. And now the postseason conversation for another week is far more realistic than I expected it to be. But then the bottom of the ninth happens. And then yet again, as they have done so many times this season, as they've done so many times this season, blew it. Self-inflicted wounds yet again for this team cost them an opportunity to make next weekend feel bigger. It cost them the opportunity to have the fan base at large buy back in to what they're doing. And it was exclusively self-inflicted. That is what's so head-scratching about this Ole Miss baseball team is they so often are in position to make winning plays or in position to get an impactful win or are coming off of a big win and they don't turn it into anything, or they have a nice inning and they don't turn it into anything. They jump to the big lead in the first inning today and immediately make a mistake to let Auburn get some spark back. And that has been this team all season long. They have done just enough to make people think that they've got what it takes to figure it out. And then they do something that completely pulls the rug out from under themselves. They constantly, repeatedly have beaten themselves. And so, yes, they got a series win on the road. The lineup's coming together a little bit for sure. But Auburn is really, really very bad. And even in the wins, they still played really poor defense and didn't pitch it all that well. I think what happened today is going to be the end of the season. I don't think they're making the postseason at this point. I do not think they're taking four games from Texas A&M and LSU. Now, because it's me and I said that, now that I said that, they're about to just sweep two series in a row. That's just what they're going to do because I said that they're not. And my track record on being right is not exactly a particularly good one. But still, I think that this was it. They had an opportunity right in front of themselves, and they blew it. And frankly, bad teams find creative ways to lose games. And this is a bad team. They have shown flashes of the potential to not be that. But that's what they are. They're a bad team. And they showed you why again today. That is the case. And it was pretty fitting, honestly, for this season. So those weren't very good put together thoughts. I really just kind of want to get to your comments. There's a lot of them already. And so I think we'll just kind of talk through this together. We'll be more of the theme of this live stream tonight. So appreciate you guys being here. Before we get to all of your comments, I want to tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online. If you're a Mississippi business and you're in the market for office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever the case may be, if it's tech, if it's in the office and your Mississippi business needs it, check them out online, absms.com. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. You tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. with 16 locations in Mississippi. There's very likely to be one in your backyard, and Priority One Bank makes you their priority with, again, those branches everywhere. And it's people that if you need like a loan or loan servicing, or like I had somebody hack my bank account and spent $10 at a tool rental store that got flagged. And the person that I met with there knew me from the last time. And anyway, it's a great banking experience. And you can't really say that all that often because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. All right, here we go. So Kobe starts us with a Mississippi State question. Well, why not? Did Mississippi State need a sweep to have a chance to host? They did not. I think they need, let's see. I'll answer this question. No, they did not need to sweep this weekend. Now, a sweep would have helped a lot considering what they've got ahead of them this weekend. But no, they are still in that conversation despite having not swept Alabama this weekend. Today was a bit of a killer, though. By the way, these school websites are still just an atrocity. They really are just truly terrible. So I think that they could possibly do it with three more wins, but four is much safer because their RPI is not great. Hold on. Their RPI is very, it's totally fine, but they're not in the top 16. And so often you see the committee just give regional host to people that are within the top 16 in the RPI, and that's just kind of what they do. Their RPI needs a little bit of help. I think four wins will get them there. So what an absolute killer. That ending to game three felt like the end of the Mike Bianco era. I mean, and just the way that happened, you know, Auburn didn't beat them. They beat them. But how many times have we said that this year? It's baseball season makes you want to call DJ. Glad to hear the show is growing. Yeah, I appreciate that. It's really fun. I enjoy your takes on everything, but it just seems like the Ole Miss focus show is the right move. I agree. I think that especially when the season gets here too. And, you know, I was actually talking to a buddy yesterday about Discord. Because I know one of you brought up the concept of Discord to me before. And what I was talking to him about yesterday was, like, how many people use Discord? Like, if I were to start a Discord server for this to, like, a lot of people use it. I know a lot of radio shows. I've got a buddy that does radio in a different state, and they've got, like, a Discord server. And they do community meetups and stuff like that, and it's awesome. But I don't know anybody that actually uses it. So, I mean, that would be the next step is like something like a Discord server would be the next step, I think. But would that be better than like a Twitter group, or is there another app or option of, I don't know. Anyway, I'm thinking through that, but that's the next step here, especially when we get closer to football season, is having something like that. Little man's probably upset about the loss like the rest of us. He was watching Zootopia. He was fine. He was all good. Zootopia, good movie, by the way. Among the children's movies or children's shows that you have to watch, that one is, it's fine. It's entertaining. There's enough, like, you know, adult things that kids don't understand that keep you engaged. Disney's pretty good about that. So yeah, we're really into that movie right now. So I had baseball iPad, that movie up on the screen. That's what we did tonight. Ole Miss baseball finds a way to lose, unlike the football team that finds ways to win. That is a parallel that I have not thought of yet, because think back to Ole Miss football 2023. How many close games were they in? They were constantly involved in really close games, and they more often than not found ways to win. Tulane, they were in a dogfight. Hell, Arkansas, they were in a dogfight. Georgia Tech was weird for a while. Mississippi State was weird for 3.5 quarters. But yet they were the ones that made the winning plays when they were presented to them, with the exception of Alabama, right? They didn't play well enough against Alabama offensively that day, and they were overmatched on the lines of scrimmage. Georgia, it was a talent mismatch. There was nothing they could have done there, but Tulane, Arkansas, LSU, Mississippi State, again, Georgia Tech, Texas A&M. I mean, so often they were down in the fourth quarter or in a one-score game in the fourth quarter, and they made plays to win games. And I know it's apples to oranges. It's football and baseball. It's a totally different thing. But opportunities have presented themselves for Ole Miss baseball. And unlike the football team that captured everybody this past season, the baseball team has repeatedly, over and over again, found a way to lose games by not making basic routine baseball plays. That's what's even more frustrating than anything else. They're not just getting beat. Auburn didn't just string together a bunch of hits with a really good lineup that where they hit good pitches and stuff like that. It was passed balls. It was error. That's what it is. And so not only are they losing, but they're losing in such a way that is so ugly. It's so ugly. We talk so often on the show about what Mississippi State fans need to expect from their football team this year. I've repeatedly said that I think that they just need to look at proof of life, right? If they're looking for a big change in the win-loss record, that is something that I think that they should not do, because there's a very real chance they have the same number of wins that they did a year ago, but they're a better team. Look at how are they competitive? Is the offense moving the football with regularity? Are they scoring points? Is the defense getting better as the season goes on? They really lack personnel there. Rookie coordinator, you guys know that by now. If that happens, you'll have a similar phenomenon that Ole Miss fans had in 2020 when Lane Kiffin took over. That team lost. I mean, they went 5-5. But they were competitive. You could see that, okay, with different players or better injury, like you could see that this will work. They're missing some things. But Ole Miss football 2020, you knew that, okay, Lane Kiffin can work. He's got what it takes to win if he just gets a little bit more. And so fans gravitated to that team and loved that team because they worked their tail off, clearly. They were in the fight every single game. They got better as the season went on. There was proof of life. There was life involved. And that's what I think State fans need to look for their football team this year. Don't look at record. Look at proof of life. This Ole Miss baseball team isn't losing games. They're lifeless. And when you are lifeless, when you're stuck in purgatory, I think that is a really dangerous place to be. When you're showing flashes of brilliance, but you beat when it's this product is really hard to consume. There's no consistency. You don't know what to expect. Some days it can look fine, and other days it can look like they are a bad middle school team. And so when you're a fan, especially in the area where buy-in is more important than it's ever been, to have this be the product, it's going to be so much harder to keep people engaged and to essentially have people make excuses for you. Losing, if you're losing the right way, people make excuses. Going back to that 2020 football team. And again, I know it's apples to oranges, two different sports. One's been at the school for two decades. One was just taking over. But I think you guys understand the concept that I'm putting out there. It's, I didn't get in trouble, but I got disagreed with when I questioned the team's effort as a whole. I think that is some of it. Lack of focus, attention to detail is some of it. Effort is some of it. But man, they're bad. So they're inconsistent. Effort's lacking at times. And they play poorly. It's a really dangerous spot to be as a program right now. Because what are you buying? You said on Wednesday that the eighth inning was symbolic of the season, but the ending today is a strong competition. It is. At least in this case, I guess, if you're looking for a silver lining, I don't think bad effort was part of the reason. It was just bad play. What happened Wednesday was the combination of both. It was a bad play followed up by poor effort when the guy on the other side of the field, if you will, was giving maximum effort. At least in this case, it was just bad play. I don't know. The 2023 team laid down and quit. This team is just playing bad. That ninth inning sequence was post-COVID Bianco in a nutshell. The ship was an aberration. More and more people are saying things like that to me. These next couple of weeks, and I said that word purgatory. These next couple of weeks, quite frankly, if you're asking for my opinion, I don't think a fan should ever root for your team to lose. I think that's a bad concept. I hate when pro sports fans do it. I hate when Saints media were saying things like they need to tank because wasting 2 years of bad football is not something that I want to buy in on. I think that teams should always try to win. And so when you're talking about the concept of tanking, and I know it's worked for some, like the Thunder, for example, are really fun and they're really good and tanking worked. They also had injury luck that helped them make that decision to tank, but obviously different in college, but still. So you should never root for losses, but I do think what's best for the overall health of the program is one of two things and nothing in between. It's either they get so freaking hot, they win four of these next six games, they somehow take a series over A&M, they go to Baton Rouge and take a series, they get to a regional, they're a three seed somewhere, they win that regional and go to a super and get everybody to buy back into concept again, where they get so hot that it's like, hell yeah, the season was rough, but the postseason made it all better. They got to supers, back on track, let's donate to NIL, got some good bats coming back, there's really nice young arm in Mendez, for example. Maybe Rivas is coming back, and suddenly you got something to build on. Either that or they lose all six games. Because even if you do not have the financial capital to make a change at head coach, losing would at least spark material change. I think the worst thing that can happen is purgatory. I used that word earlier. That's the worst thing that can happen. Is a program that exists and inspires nothing. And my fear would be if, let's say, they win one this weekend and one next weekend, and they win one in Hoover, and they just barely get left out, and nothing changes. I'm not even talking about head coach, just nothing material changes. They just kind of run it back the same way. That is far worse, in my opinion, for the overall health of the program than either A, getting super hot and winning a bunch of games and inspiring confidence, or being bad enough to force some kind of change, whether it's getting a pitching coach or you know, a lot of people are talking about a change at head coach. Purgatory is the most dangerous place to be in. If they are in between those two scenarios, I think that's where they'll end up is purgatory. That would be my fear. A&M will be pissed and run rule them twice and or sweep. Yeah. Too little too late for this year. They would have to win like three in Hoover if they make it to Hoover to make a regional. You think they'll finish 10-20 and we'll have to wait until after Hoover for a decision. That does feel likely. I would much more likely put money on 10-20 than 13-17. Wouldn't blame Fisher at all for getting in the portal. He and Utermark are too good for this. Fisher was great this weekend. It was great. They have a couple pieces they should try to hold on to. They have a handful of pieces that they should try to hold on to. And like, what do you do with Luke Hill? What do you do with a guy like Luke Hill? Because he's unplayable in the field. And look, I know sometimes he makes some really nice plays. Like the potential is there. But I don't think at this point you want his bat out of the lineup. He's hitting well. He's seeing the baseball well. You're seeing at the plate what he can be. But my goodness, what was Luke Hill this weekend? I'll pull it up, actually. Because, I mean, he's really starting to hit the baseball well. And, like, Smithwick is starting to hit the baseball well, but, I mean, you saw what happened there. He's young, so maybe he can get better. But the problem is the counting on development right now is not something that you should do. That was something that, in the past, you've really been able to do with Mike Bianco coach baseball teams, that if you had a young guy in the program, you could almost bet, and you almost guarantee that next year he's going to be better. But that's been an issue the last couple of years, is that these guys that have been in the program are not getting any better. There's not material improvement really across the board in this program. Okay, let's see. Stats, let's do game by game for Luke Hill. I mean, he had... The game three stats aren't up yet, but let's see. He had two hits yesterday and two hits Friday. He had five hits against Alabama. I mean, he's really seeing the baseball well. But he's unplayable in the field right now. That's more along the lines of what we've been talking about, though, is he's their team in a nutshell. Really, really good at one thing, almost unplayable at another thing. You bet Fisher will demand a premium in the portal. Yeah, and I think the cost of doing business is going up, too, in baseball. So, my younger viewers under 30 would probably use Discord. You use it sometimes and enjoy it. Tell me more about it. What's it? I've never used it. There's a C Spire commercial where there's this, he's a young kid that's a music artist. I don't know anything about him. I just know he's a young kid that's a music artist that did a commercial for C Spire, and he talks about editing music in Discord. That seems like it's a little too intricate for just like community building. So tell me more about it, because I'm open to it. I would like to do it. A lot of people do something like this. A lot of people. So I want to, you know, I want to take advantage of the opportunities, but that seems complex. You're as tech connected and obsessed as anyone. Haven't signed into a Discord server in nearly a year. So would a Twitter community be better? Or is there another way? Like, I don't have a message board. I'm not going to make a message board either, so that's out. Anyway, ULM was 7-3 at the half. I forgot about that. That was a game where they were hoping to get to play the entire roster in the last 30 minutes, and they were completely unable to do that because they kind of screwed around. So the announcer stated that Hill throwing the glove at the ball in the ninth should have resulted in an automatic triple. Can you confirm that's the rule, and what's the thinking anyway? I'm going to be honest with you. I do not know if that's a rule or not. Let me Google it for you. Let's see. Baseball Rules Academy. I hope that they'll know what we're talking about, because I heard that too. I just assumed they were right, but let's confirm it. The detached equipment rule. Okay, this is giving an example from... Okay, it's all major league, so that's not going to help us. And this website's terrible, too. I'm really wasting your time with this. I'm sorry. I'll take their word for it, though, because I know there's a reason that people do that. Or that people don't do that. It is so in Major League Baseball, if an outfielder throws their glove, I'm sorry, I'm reading from this website. I'm having a hard time here. Forgive me. If an outfielder throws their glove at a batted ball and the glove makes contact with the ball, it is considered a ground rule double. This means that the batter is awarded second base. However, if the outfielder then catches the glove with the ball still inside of it, the batter is only awarded a ground rule double and not an out. It's the same thing. The ruling varies depending on the circumstance. The detached equipment rule covers more than just fielders. A fielder's glove becoming detached. It also covers any other piece of equipment like the hat or the catcher's mask. When a fielder throws a glove at a batted ball, perhaps in frustration, and the glove makes contact with the ball, the batter will automatically be awarded third base. There you go. They were right. At least according to this. However, the play is not dead, and the batter can advance beyond third base at his risk. Of course, any runners who are on base are permitted to round the bases and score on the play without being at risk of being put out. The important aspect is the glove must touch the ball. The umpire must also make the ruling that the player intentionally tried to throw his glove at the ball and that the glove did not accidentally come off his hand when he hit the ground while diving for the ball or any other circumstance. So there you go. If that website is correct, then those announcers were correct. Look is so important in how to judge a team. You took the words right out of my mouth on 2020 Ole Miss. I've got to give Lemonis a lot of credit. The guy was on the ropes, and it looks like he's saved his job for the time being. They are playing very well. And you know, Edward, that creates an interesting talking point anyway with this scenario. So Mississippi State and Ole Miss were in very similar circumstances. Mississippi State won a championship and were absolutely pathetic the 2 years following that. Ole Miss won a national championship and to this point have been absolutely pathetic in the 2 years following that. Mississippi State, Zach Selman decided to, sorry for the weird pause there. My computer froze for a second. Zach Selman decided to keep Chris Lemonis. He hires a new hitting coach. He makes a staff change, hires a new pitching coach. They make a staff change. And now they are in position to possibly host a regional. And they had a really bad non-conference schedule, so strength of schedule is keeping them down. There are, I don't know if this is an athletic department feeling, but I know that there are Ole Miss fans that, at least a couple, that give a lot of money to baseball that are Diamond Club people and all that, that are of the line of thinking, well, that worked at Mississippi State, don't fire Bianco. Make him make a staff change, and then they can become what Mississippi State is again this year. So, frankly, I think that's a dangerous line of thinking. You should do what you think is best for you and not look at somebody else and what they're doing and mirror exactly what they're doing. But Mississippi State's success, and again, it's anecdotal. It's only a couple of people that I've spoken to that are in that kind of donor level. But they asked me, they're like, why not just do that? Why not keep him and make him hire a pitching coach? Look at what happened at Mississippi State. And, you know, in fairness, that makes sense. It makes total sense. That's not how I would approach it. But that is an option for Keith Carter. Is I'll keep you. But what you need to do is hire a pitching coach. Maybe make a change with hitting coach, make some staff changes, or else he'll get cut-cliffed. Would I replace Bianco, and who would it be? Would I, if the season goes the way I think it's going to, it depends. It depends on if the money would come out of what you're spending or what you can spend on football and basketball. If the $4 million plus that you need to pay a buyout, it is over 4 years, but still, if that's going to in any way, shape, or form adversely affect what you can do for football or men's basketball, then I think I wouldn't. But if you can find new money somewhere, if you can get a donor or two to help you pay for it, if it continues like this, then yes, I would. And Bakich at Clemson would be my first call. If it continues like this, and if you can find new money. Those are the two. Then that's it. You think the effort is generally there with the baseball team, but they just suck? You're not the only one that thinks that way. Hotty Toddy from Pascagoula. Good to see you, Jerry. Glad that you're here, my friend. You will say you spent lots of time at the ballpark with Wes Mendez's family this season. Him getting the first win last night was an awesome feeling. I'm sure they were happy. He's going to be good. You can see the stuff with him. You can see the stuff with him for sure. He's going to be good. You could argue it was mostly the players who possibly overcame a lack of coaching or development since 2011. Guys like Hoagland, Nikhazy, Elko, Gonzalez, DeLucia, Graham Bench, etc., were just ballers. Absolutely. And, you know, it's hard to make claims like this because you're not in the locker room or in the dugout, but those teams just felt like they had a purpose, an identity. And you guys know me. I don't like talking about stuff like that because I can't quantify it. I can't point to, well, this is the number that backs up what I'm saying, or this is the argument that backs up what I'm saying. It feels like for the last 2 years, Ole Miss baseball has had no identity, has had no purpose, has had no pride, you know? They've just been lacking that alpha energy that you need on sports teams. Appreciate the super chat, my friend. Thank you so much. Don't forget, PTG Outdoors. Hey, by the way, I'm not in the market for a golf cart yet, but I'm going to be, and I'm going to enlist your help on that because little man loves some golf carts. The price terrifies me, but I'm saving up, and I'm going to get your help. So thank you for that, and check them out, PTG Outdoors. I will watch every game, but I can't wait until the season is over. Keep this going, and how do you recruit to a program that's in the dumps? You can build a program and then destroy it all 2 years later, especially when you've got to do you portal your way out of this? Or do you trust yourself with development again? Because they tried to portal their way out of this, and frankly, all their best players are portal guys, but it hasn't worked. But in order to keep some of these guys, you're going to have to pay them. In order to go get more, if you need to go get more, you're going to have to pay them. You're going to need more money, essentially. And how difficult of a time are you going to have fundraising off of this? It's a big question. Redfish and flounder are heating up on the boat and the kitchen. Yummy. Heck yeah, Jerry. I haven't been red fishing in so long, but I love it, man. Oh, man, I've never been down in I've never caught redfish in Mississippi, actually. I've only done it on the coastal South Carolina, but sight fishing for reds in the salt marshes is intoxicating. I mean, when they're in this deep of water and you can see their little fins sticking out like little sharks, and you're sight fishing these bull reds and creeping up on them with a big push pole, and oh, man. Purgatory sucks. That's why I'm so bored with the Titans. Feels like 7-10, 8-9 team every year that does nothing. Just a simple "we suck" from Barbara. Straight to the point. I'm not sure how coachable Hill is. You say I've seen him run through signals on the base paths multiple times. His fielding is atrocious, and there's still the preseason crap that he pulled. Throwing his glove in the air made you laugh. What else can you say about Charlie Condon? Dylan Cruz was first position player selected in Major League Baseball last year, and you feel like Condon is as good, if not better. And the ability to keep the consistency through conference play. I mean, his numbers aren't changing despite playing in the most difficult league in America, really. He is a special, special hitter. Absolutely special hitter. his teammates using sticky stuff, but he is a absolutely special hitter. Back to the Discord thing. Not sure on how to run or operate a Discord server, but I mainly use it for different channels of chat and also talking in the voice channels, mostly gaming and meme related purposes. I don't think you can structure it like an actual message board in terms of having threads. Okay. I'll look into it because I think it's a really good idea, and I think it's something that I need to be involved in, and not being involved in is probably limiting me in some way. Just it's a free engagement opportunity with your community. You know what I mean? Why would I leave that on the table? It's not a very smart business decision on my part. Dave Neal saying JT Quinn was unhittable made you laugh. Like, was he not watching the game? Quinn threw some BP in the eighth. He can be unhittable. He's just not most of the time. Yeah. State didn't portal well in baseball. Ole Miss did, which makes the comparison interesting. Absolutely. They did not portal well. Their fans were very, very, very disappointed, mad at what they were not able to do in the transfer portal, especially on the mound. And that's where they've gotten so much better. They brought in a new highly regarded pitching coach, and the pitching staff got better. Ole Miss hasn't hosted a super regional since 2009. I'm 32. I was in high school. And I know 32 is not that old. That's not like this big like age flex or whatever. But I'm 32 years old. And they haven't hosted a super regional since I've been in college. Bad pitching hasn't been the primary problem. They've been decimated with injury there. Can't field or hit consistently. That's more of a systemic problem. I agree. You'll cut down on the super chats to help fund the buy. Oh, man. So you're just like 499,000 something short on that. But hey, any dollar helps. You believe Ole Miss is dead last in ERA in conference play since 2001? More excited about Ole Miss basketball than you are for baseball. At this point, I get it. Frankly, you probably should be. You've got clear momentum and direction in one. But Georgia and Kentucky could both host a regional this season. Meanwhile, Ole Miss will sit at home. And Tennessee has turned into a powerhouse in baseball. Ole Miss has fallen. I mean, and now what you're seeing is there's a lot of programs in the SEC investing too. The conference is changing a little bit. It's getting even more difficult. Now, that's not excuse making by any stretch, because just because the conference is getting better doesn't mean that Ole Miss 5 years ago, this team would have won a bunch of games. They wouldn't have. They're bad. They do fundamentally awful things all the time. But Tennessee's investing in their give a damn, for lack of a better phrase, is growing rather dramatically. Auburn's doing like the exact same addition to their stadium that Ole Miss is, which, by the way, I think they should pump that at this point. I think Chase was the first person to bring that up, and I agree with him. I'm parroting that. They need to stop that project. I don't think they need to start that right now. There's more important things that the money needs to go to for baseball than another club section, frankly. I think they need to not start that project ASAP, personally. But, I mean, Auburn's doing literally that exact thing, and they've done stuff with their outfield, and Kentucky's got a new ballpark, and their fans are buying in, and that the league's getting tougher and tougher. And so as the league is improving all around, in the feeling of purgatory, where you need a ton of upward momentum to keep up. You were 8 years old in 2009, just finishing up my fifth year in college. Wow. You think Ole Miss basketball is going to be what baseball was in the past? You know, it's rather incredible. I mean, seriously, I know we've talked about this already, but the fact that Ole Miss basketball is, if you believe the rumors from Trilly Donovan, which you should, because he's connected and nobody's disputed it. If Ole Miss is really spending $800K plus on one basketball player, that is amazing to me. And I'm not being condescending. I'm not like patting you on the head. Oh, like that's cute, $800,000. That's big boy basketball spending. I mean, we're not talking about Kentucky or Arizona or Kansas or Duke. We're talking about Ole Miss basketball, one Sweet 16 ever. And apparently the funds are available to drop that kind of money on one basketball player. And they've signed a handful of them, really good ones. The investment into basketball is, and I mean this genuinely, it's amazing when you think about the context of Ole Miss basketball and what its history is and where it is in the pecking order around the country. It is amazing what they've been able to pull off. And now you've got the number one football portal class, and you just convinced a defensive back to not even visit Alabama, let alone fight Alabama off for his signature. He didn't even go. He was down to Alabama and Ole Miss, and he didn't even go. Think about that. I know that we've talked often about collective and how much it's got and how well organized it is and fan base buy-in, but when you think about how expensive it is to do what they've done, and they've done it, it's amazing. Truly amazing that you have football in the position that it's in, and you have basketball in the position that it's in, and your baseball team is still making over seven figures. That is amazing. I can't wrap my mind around how well Ole Miss has navigated the collective era, the pay-for-play era. It's truly amazing. And I'm not using that word hyperbolically because, and I know we talk about how history doesn't matter, but think about what Ole Miss athletics is historically and financially compared to its peers in the SEC. Way behind. Look at the athletic budgets. You've got programs in the SEC that have literally double the athletic budget than Ole Miss, and yet here they are with the number one portal class. Here they are signing a guard for $850K, if you believe the rumors, paired with four other dudes that were highly sought after portal guys in basketball, and a baseball team making $1.5 million plus. That's incredible. A&M can be a dominant power in the conference with their buy-in and NIL. We already knew that about LSU. Absolutely. Absolutely. A&M can do that. And I mean, it appears that they've made the right hire with Schlossnagel as well. People use the term sleeping giant a lot, and I've always made fun of that term when people describe Texas A&M football that way. Well, A&M football is a sleeping giant. Well, is it a sleeping giant or a giant that hasn't been born? When are they awake? They've never been awake. How can you be a sleeping giant if you never have been awake before? But yeah, they've got the resources that should make them nationally competitive in all three. But as I just mentioned, baseball is a different story. They're really, really well-funded in baseball. Really well-funded. But they made a coaching change in football. That's when excitement is at its all-time high. They made a coaching change. So they needed to sign a high volume of portal players, and you had a fan base that was locked back in and engaged, and they did not sign as good of a portal class as Ole Miss. So many similarities between State and Ole Miss's troubles after the national title win. State lost their identity and toughness after Mangum, Tanner Allen, who I got to see play today, by the way. He plays for the Pensacola Blue Wahoos. Me and about 30 other people went to the Mississippi Braves game today. Wives and girlfriends only atmosphere, it seemed. But yeah, Tanner Allen had a double, an RBI double today. Rowdy Jordan, et cetera, all departed. Finding the right guys to lead is so important. And you don't even have to be a jerk to be an alpha player. Absolutely. Tim Elko's, he was an alpha, but the best kind, elite level leadership, you know? Good basketball is fine with you. Being relevant and winning in March is a huge thing. It's a massive thing. It's so much fun, too. Walker Jones is a walking, talking miracle worker. William Liston as well. There's a handful of others that were involved in that as well. But, yes, he'd rather have a Final Four in basketball than make two or three College World Series in a row any day. Think that basketball and baseball will switch spots as far as buying from fans. Our baseball will be what our basketball used to be as far as fan support. I hear you. I'm going to respectfully disagree, though. I think baseball is so important to the fabric of life for an Ole Miss student and the town of Oxford that I don't think it will ever truly like become an afterthought because of just how important it is to the like the social structure. I know that's weird to talk, but baseball is so important to the fabric of like student life at Ole Miss and Springs and Oxford, very dependent on baseball, and baseball is such an ingrained part of the culture that I don't think it's ever truly like going to become third fiddle, a distant third fiddle to the other sports on campus, which makes what's happening and what you will likely see crowd-wise this weekend so damning. Ole Miss is technically more of a sleeping giant in football than A&M by going by history, because at least Ole Miss had a time where they were good. Yeah. All that about A&M's money, but they are having to lay off staff and balance their budget. Some of that seems like the new AD wanted to make some structural changes, but you are going to see departments start trimming some fat to get ready to pay the players directly. Baseball cannot fall as far as basketball was down. It matters way too much in the state and on the campus. I agree. You'd rather go to Omaha 2 or 3 years. See, and you're not the only Ole Miss fan that thinks that way. I do, though. I think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that they just haven't made it in basketball, and so people just don't know what that's like. The Final Four, you think, is much more difficult than Omaha. I agree with that, too. You can lose in baseball a lot. I mean, you can win the national championship in college baseball and lose 2, 3, 5, 6 games, right? Or is it 7? Because you can lose 2 in the regional, can't you? 1 in the super. No, you can't. Anyway, you can lose games, and I don't want to think through it. My mind's not working well enough to think through that. I know that's some of you guys are probably screaming into your phone right now how many games you can lose, and I should be able to walk through it, but you get my point. You can lose games in baseball and still make the championship. So the number of young students in on our campus today because of Omaha is wild. You hear it all the time. They came because of what they saw the fans do in Omaha. Exactly. Exactly. Student interaction in baseball is huge for sure. And baseball is king in the state over basketball. You go to Omaha, but not traveling to a Final Four game. You know, Brandon, I call your bluff on that. You want to know why? Because you've not had the opportunity to do it. And I think if you're given the opportunity, you'll go. And I'll sit with you. I'll be there with you because I think that you'll change your mind on that. I have friends that went to South Carolina that, although their baseball, like student culture, is not the same as it is at Ole Miss, they did have that Final Four run, and they will tell you that that was so much more fun than any baseball thing. But the state there is also a little bit different, too. Basketball's gets more attention in that region of the country. So, a little bit different, but anyway. So, appreciate you guys. I'll think more on the Discord thing, because I've been asked about it enough to where I think it would be a good idea. But anyway, so appreciate you guys. Again, I'm sorry. I did not mean to ban that guy. I don't know who it was. I feel bad. I don't think I've seen him before, but if you're going to take time out to comment anyway, so I feel bad about that. If you guys know who that is, have him reach out, because I didn't mean to do that. It's too close to another button here, and I've done it once before, so, and got that fixed. But anyway, appreciate you guys. Really, really thankful for you, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.